Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand, let's turn in our hymn books to page 41. Page 41, there is a fountain. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I go while as he washes all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may my sins away.
On the last,
then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. In this poor lisping, stammering tongue, I silent in the grave, lie silent in stammering tongue, lie silent in the grave.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Well, it's good to see you all. The ladies must have had a good time yesterday. We got to get them to clean up better. They left footprints everywhere. It's terrible. They left footprints all over this building. And yeah, it's good. Somebody was going down the hallway with all them sneakers on the wall. I think it might have been Marvin. He said it's somebody's feet stink. But well, it's been a fun day. Fun day yesterday, and trust the ladies had a good time. I want to thank all those who labored beginning to end to put things together for the Ladies' Day retreat. Sure thankful for the men that helped out yesterday and the young men. They did a tremendous job. We appreciate one and all. It's good to be here today to worship our great God. He is worthy for us to worship Him indeed. And what we want to do is take a couple of minutes, welcome each other, and please, church, get around and welcome our visitors as well. Let's do that. Amen.
someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Amen. Please also turn to page 58.
The cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice, leave him with your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care.
The cross,
give your idols up, look unto realms above, turn not away to life's sparkling cup, trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care.
Still.
would stand one more time, let's turn to page 378. Our haven of rest. Amen.
My soul in sad exile was out of my sleep, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice say, "Make me your choice."
Metropolitan Baptist Church. Men, if you could please come to the front for the offering. Sorry. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. And visitors, thank you for visiting us this morning. Miss Arlene Hasty, if you're interested in preparing meals for those getting home from the hospital. Ladies Brunch, Rosa's Cafe at 9:30 on October the 1st. Brother Solomon, pastor told me how to say his last name, but I forgot, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Brother Solomon is coming October the 3rd, and a project and activity inserts. If you haven't turned them in, please turn them in to Brother John. If you are interested in attending the breakfast after the 7:30 prayer, please sign up at the Welcome Center. For headcounts, this will be the men's breakfast on October the 6th at 9 a.m. October is also a Pastor's Appreciation Month. If you would like to show your appreciation with a note or a card, October the 7th, there will be a basket at the Welcome Center. Friday Night Fellowship, October the 12th from 6:30 to 9. If you'd like to bring snacks, everybody is invited. It'll be my last opportunity, I think, to show off my skills. So if you want to get dunked on, come over. Missions Conference, October the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and the 21st. There will be 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. services on the 18th and the 19th. On the 21st, there will be a fifth Sunday setting. Please, it's going to be a potluck. Bring food for your family and guests. Dessert, too. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to fellowship together and more than anything to come to worship you, Father God. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. We pray for our community that you use us, Lord, to reach them. And Father, if there be any here lost that does not know Christ, I pray that they come to that knowledge today, Lord, and I pray for the offering. I ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, young people. Indeed, what a wondrous love. Beautiful song, beautiful message. We'll be turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. We'll be looking at that testing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find your place there. Please stand with me. Reverence to the Word of God. Begin reading in verse 1 of the Gospel, where it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when he was ended, he afterward were hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread.
Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Father, we bow before you. Indeed, once again, we just want to give you glory, give you praise, thanking you, Lord, for your word, the living word, our Savior, the Son of God, but also your written word. We pray that it would be more than just ink on pages, but it would become that very breath of God to breathe into our very souls and deal with us exactly where we are this morning. Father, indeed, I pray that you'd meet the need, whatever it be, of every heart. Of course, our desire, our prayer is to magnify Christ, to exalt him and lift him up. And we pray, Father, that in this hour, you might be pleased to work in every heart, even drawing folks to yourself that might need saved. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, bless you. You can be seated. Life's full of tests, isn't it? Oh, my. Testing. Whether it might be in the classroom or the boardroom or even at the living room. Life is full of ongoing and continuing tests in life. Some tests are routine and random. We don't know what they might be, but other tests can be very monumental and life-changing, life-altering. We pick up our passage here just after his baptism, back in chapter 3, just before the genealogy of his stepfather Joseph is given to us, we see that Jesus has been baptized. And now he's going to spend 40 days in the wilderness without a bite to eat and under the temptation of the devil. Under the devil's temptation. We see here the devil, who was once known as the anointed cherub and has since been known as the roaring lion, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, this one that can manifest himself even as an angel of light, is without question a formidable foe. A formidable foe. Mere men, you and I, mere men are no match for the devil's deceptions. But the devil had never tempted a man like this man. Yes, as his name describes him, devil, Diabolos, he is a great deceiver. But, beloved, Satan remains only a creature. We need to remember that. He is a created being. And in this wilderness encounter, he's dealing with a man, but a man like no other man. The Son of God, in flesh and blood, will face every temptation the devil throws at him and will come forth unscathed, if you will, and still without sin. We pick up here in the passage in chapter 4, and we see that Jesus is returning from Jordan into the wilderness. As we said, he was at Jordan, that place where John the Baptist had been busy baptizing. And Jesus has just been baptized by John. And our question might be, just where is this wilderness located? And, of course, that's a good question. And we realize that all that area surrounding, south of Jordan is wilderness, around the Dead Sea and all that. Is a good way to describe that area is no life. I mean, it's dead. But the suggestion is made, the supposition, the belief that this wilderness spoken of in the passage is somewhere between Jericho and in the mountainous area between Jericho and the city of Jerusalem. It's a desolate place where there is little to no vegetation, and indeed a depressing place. A distressing and depressing place. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse 1, returns, as it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Full of the Holy Ghost, yes. Jesus returns in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Might be mindful. Remember, back at Jordan, that at his baptism, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him out of heaven. Do you remember what attended that? The voice of God. The voice of God declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Please. Keep those words. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus has returned from Jordan and he's led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus is led of the Spirit, as it says, into the wilderness. Immediately. Right into the days after his baptism, he's led into the wilderness for this drastic time of testing. And it's important that we realize that the devil is not in control of this situation. We get the idea that somehow Jesus is at his mercy. But who led him into the wilderness? Not the devil. He was led there of the Spirit, capital S, into the wilderness. Oh my. Satan was not in control. God is in control of what's taken place here. He was not taken there by the devil. So we see as well that Jesus is tempted now, tested 40 days. 40 days while he is fasting. What's that? No food. As we read in verse 2, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days," during that period, He did eat nothing. Nothing. And when they were ended, without saying, he was hungered. Well, Luke summarizes. He summarizes this entire event into just a few words before he goes on to go into detail of what took place. We've got to come to the conclusion. This is not a normal fast. 40 days. 40 days is not a normal fast. Moses, we're mindful, had more than one 40-day fast during that time when God was dealing with him in the early days after the children of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. But we see here that our Savior has had no food. No food for 40 days. Man, I can't hardly miss a meal. Huh? My wife's saying, oh my, is that true? Yeah. You know, we may, as Christians, may enter a time of fasting for spiritual reasons or for some health reason or whatever. But 40 days, beloved, without food, without nourishment, would tell us that this must have been a divinely directed and even strengthened fast. Oh my. Afterward, to say the least, he wasn't hungered. With his physical body growing weaker and weaker through the lack of food, Satan enters into the scene. The devil, the liar, comes on the scene to defeat him through a temptation to sin. Stick with me. There's a couple things we need to see specifically concerning that as we go through the passage. We see then Jesus returned from Jordan and now he's in the wilderness. But then we see the series of tests. The first one is the test concerning God's will. In verses 3 and 4 we read this. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we see this test here to turn a stone into bread. To turn a stone into bread. Now, how hard would it be for Jesus to turn a stone into bread? Now, be mindful. As we read from John and the book of and Paul's letter to the Colossians, that it was Jesus, the second person of Godhead, that spoke the universe into existence. We turn to the Gospel of John in the second chapter. His first miracle was what? Turning water into wine. How difficult would it be for Jesus to turn a rock into a loaf of bread? Wouldn't have been hard at all. It wouldn't have been hard at all. It would have been no problem for him to satisfy his great and growing need of food. But the truth is Jesus answered the devil. The truth that man needs more than bread. Huh? We need more than just physical bread. We need a word from God, beloved. And in that, through that word of God, we learn what God's will is for us. And this test was concerning what God's will was in what was going on here. The Holy Spirit of God had led the Lord Jesus Christ into this fast. Would he break that fast? Not by God's word, but by the devil's word? No. No, absolutely not. Jesus knew that his life, his physical life, was in God's hands. He's led there of the Spirit, right? We must keep reminding ourselves. And though his physical need was great, He was not going to move outside of what God's will was for him. Had his father, who loved him, sent him into the wilderness to starve to death? No. His plan for his son was far greater than to starve to death in a wilderness. No. His father would not allow him to starve to death in the desert. Be mindful that Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11 tells us that when this ordeal, this time of testing, was over, that God dispatched angels to the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to him in his hunger. Huh? Oh no. It was not God's will to allow his beloved son to starve to death. And Jesus would wait for God's word rather than the devil's word. But we see the second test, the test concerning God's worship. The first dealt with God's word, or God's will, excuse me. We see here the test concerning God's worship. In verses 5 through 8, it says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Interesting. He flashed the kingdoms of the world before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 6, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Wow. We'll hold off there for a moment. The devil promises to give Jesus the power of the kingdoms of this earth. What's that mean? It means he's going to give Jesus authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. Wow. Remember that Satan is what? The prince of this world. He is the prince of this world, and his realm is over the earthly kingdoms of this globe. He flashes the world's kingdoms before the weakened Jesus' eyes. Satan assures Jesus. He assures Jesus that he has the power to give him all the world. Man, I guess that tells you why this world's so messed up. Why this world is in such chaos. If Satan has anything to do with the rule of this world, and there's other things that come to play there, but that's a message for another day. Verse 6 says this, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Wow. How does the devil work? What's his name? Diabolos. He is the deceiver, the false accuser. He loves to twist circumstances in order to deceive. We're given the highlight of this temptation, but we can imagine all that went on maybe in the conversation and how this vile fiend would approach the human Jesus who's weakened from 40 days of fasting. Can you imagine him? Again, we're just given the highlights. We don't know all that went on, do we? Can I conjecture just a little bit? Could it be that Satan would say, "Look at you. Look at you. You're a failure. You're nothing but a village carpenter's son. I can give you the world." Huh?
I can give you the world. I can give you a crown. And you won't have to endure the cross. If thou therefore wilt worship me. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all will be thine. Wow. The deceiver, huh? The liar. We see the other side, how Jesus answers this. The truth that God alone is to be worshipped. God alone. Verse 8. As Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, it's interesting here that our Lord doesn't even dispute that Satan's claim over the kingdoms of this world. He doesn't dispute that. But in just a few short years, Satan's power would be broken on a hill called Calvary. Jesus would take back that authority from the wicked one. And beloved, one day all the world will bow before King Jesus. Amen. Not because he worshiped the usurper, but because he remained true to God's word. The Son of God, it's interesting. The Son of God will take his place one day upon the throne of David, and all the world will bend the knee to him. Whew. It's all his. It's all his. Wow. What a God. The third test is concerning God's word. His will, his worship, and his word. The test concerning God's word. Picking up in verse 9 of our chapter. And he, Satan, speaking of the devil, brought him to Jerusalem. And set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Wow. Lord Jesus has answered. He's answered these first two tests from the devil, from the Word of God. From the Word of God. Verse 4, verse 8, we see that. They ring with truth from God's Word to turn Satan's temptations back on him. In this last temptation, in this last test, the devil tries to employ God's Word against Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? He'll do that, beloved. He'll do that against you as well. But we see the test, and I'm careful how I say this. Stick with me, please. I say this with trepidation, but I think it bears true. The test is for Jesus to attempt suicide. Just so the angels would save him. What did he say? Cast thyself down. Why? Just so the angels will have the opportunity to bear thee up. We ask the question, to begin with, just where is this pinnacle of the temple that's spoken of here? And there's, of course, conjecture about that, and we're not told exactly where it is. The word itself means a high place, a corner piece of a high place.
describes something in its very top extremity. Most likely, the place for this test was at or near the southwest corner of the Temple Mount itself. Isn't that interesting? On the Temple Mount, where just inside the sacrifices for sin were made. And the devil takes Jesus to the uppermost part, a pinnacle of the temple. And it's believed it was probably in that southwest corner and even on the top of what was called Solomon's Porch. It was a very elevated portico area on that end of the Temple Mount. Some have suggested that it was at least 500 feet from the top of Solomon's Porch, the roof. Be mindful, at the southwest corner was the Kidron Valley. And so from the top of Solomon's Porch to the bottom of the valley, Kidron Valley, would be a minimum of 500 feet, and some have said maybe as much as 700 feet. Regardless, even 500 feet or so is like jumping off of a 40-story building. A great fall, indeed. A fall that would certainly lead to Jesus' death. And so that we're clear, Satan is tempting Jesus to throw himself off that pinnacle of the temple. And again, as we've said, would be certain death. The deceiver, the devil, attempts to use Scripture in this case, the Bible, God's Word, to persuade Jesus that indeed if he is the Son of God, Satan knew who he was. The angels will save him. Now, the devil is quoting here from Psalm 91. You can be turning there. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And we'll get to that in a moment. But we see the truth again. Satan operates in what? Lies. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, operates in the truth. The truth that God is not to be tempted. Our passage. I told you to turn to Psalm 91. Hopefully you kept a finger in our passage. And verses 12 and 13. Jesus answering said unto him, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Now, beloved, we understand, we've been saying it, that the devil is a deceiver and he will twist and misrepresent God's word. He'll use that on you. We go back. We're not going to do it, but we went back to Genesis 3. We know how he twisted God's word as he tempted Eve. And in Eve's case, he was victorious. Please understand what Satan's ultimate goal is in this test. Number one, he wants to destroy God's plan. He wants to destroy God's plan, and he wants to kill God's Son. You say, "What? Really? Do we not remember at Jesus' birth how Satan inspired King Herod to order the murder of every child under 2 years old?" What was the goal? Of course, we see Herod's envy involved, but where was that inspired? The wicked one was trying to destroy Jesus then, and I believe, and you can straighten me out, I believe he's trying to destroy Jesus, number one, God's plan to save us, number two. Yes, He has God in his grips. Isn't that interesting? He has God in his hands. If he can kill Jesus the Christ, he thwarts God's plan for man's salvation. For Jesus to kill himself rather than to become that sacrifice for our sin would have destroyed everything. You say, could that have happened? We could get into a theological debate there. Might we say this? Jesus entered this time of testing without sin. He entered this time of testing not only without sin, but as the Son of God and God the Son without any inclination to sin. And so to ask the question, what would have happened if Jesus threw himself off the temple, is a ridiculous, it's a facetious question. It's a foolish question, as we see as we go along. Stick with me. You're there in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. As you look at your Bible and compare how the devil leaves out and he leaves off portions of the Word of God, and some very important parts of this passage from Psalm 91. Now, if you want, you can follow in Luke chapter 4 as I read what Satan said. Again, you might pick up there in verse 10 in Luke chapter 4. But reading from Psalm 91, listen to this, where it says there, "For he, God, shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." Satan conveniently left that out. In all thy ways? God's ways. In all God's ways. Verse 12. "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Notice what verse 13 says that the devil conveniently does not quote. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Oh, wow. I love God's Word. I was telling myself, the farther I go along in this Christian life, the more I love God's Word. Verse 13 tells us how that this one described in the passage will tread upon the lion and the adder. An adder is another name for what? A serpent or a snake. Serpent or a snake. Also, it says the young lion and the dragon. What are three animals in the Bible that Satan is likened to? He's called a roaring lion. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he's called a serpent in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. And when we get to the Revelation, listen to this. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, he, speaking of our Lord, he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I just can't understand why the devil left that part out. Jesus' actual answer to the devil in verse 12 is short and it is clear. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Beloved, God is not to be tested. Amen. Stick with me. When I say that, you understand what I mean. Once again, Jesus quotes scripture to the devil. And this time, in fact, all three times, interestingly, it came from the book of Deuteronomy, out of the law. This one came from Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 16. Hanging there at the pinnacle of the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ, severely physically weakened, sets the devil straight. We are not to test God foolishly. Huh? Now, there are those times in our life when it's right and it's proper in that sense to test God in that way, to see Him work, to perform His wonders and His glories. But we're not to tempt God foolishly. God's way, what did it say in Psalm 91, I think verse 11? In all thy ways, God's ways. It's not God's way to tempt Him, to test Him. God's way was not for His Son to throw Himself down off the temple to simply prove God's power to protect Him. It was foolishness. And beloved, we are not to put God's character to test. His daily continual dealings with us prove the quality of His character and His love for His children. Well, these tests were not successful. The tests were not successful. It says in verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Jesus prevailed over all temptation, as it's worded here. What's it say? And when the devil had ended all the temptation. You know how I like little words. I like getting every word. All the temptation Jesus was victorious over. We quoted Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 a little bit earlier. It says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Isn't that beautiful? How beautiful. For now at least, as we read, for now at least the devil was through tempting Jesus. It seems from the phrase for a season that the tempter would be back. We know along the way in his earthly ministry, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, others, the priests would test Jesus. Now the word there is they would tempt Jesus in his words and what his miracles and so forth. It's the same word as used here. And those religious hypocrites were being used of the wicked one to again what? Destroy the ministry, the reputation, the integrity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that the devil departed from him. What's the best way? What's the best way to get the devil out of your life? Well, refuse his temptations. Huh? Refuse his temptations. And if you say no, stick with me. If you say no to Satan and his temptations and yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil will depart. At least for a season. At least for a season. Now, what are you getting at here, preacher? Well, how does all that work? If you insist on living according to God's word, the devil will flee. If you insist to live according to the scriptures, the devil will flee from you. Well, where do you get that? Well, I read something about it. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this: submit yourselves therefore unto God. What are we submitting to? When we submit to God, we're submitting to what? His word. His word. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Well, when can we let down our guard on this? You better not. When can we let down our guard against the devil? Now look, as we read in our passage in Luke chapter 4, it says that the devil departed for a season. And as we go through the Gospels, we'll see that he constantly came back, whether in person or inspiring others in tests against the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Satan would continue to try to tempt and test our Savior, do you think he might continue to tempt and test us? The devil will flee those who live in submission to his word, but he will return. Listen to me. He will return. He will leave you alone for a time. What would be his strategy in that? Leave you alone for a while to get you to let down. Lower your guard, so to speak, and then look out. When you're not expecting it, guess what? He's right back. He's right back. He's back to tempt in some other way. The passage, one of the verses that we've been using on Sunday night, talking about opposing spiritual opposition from 1 Peter chapter 8, I'll say it, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we see this very thing that we're warned against. Where there, Peter writes and he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, the devil. Notice the word, the title, Diabolos, the liar, the deceiver. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. Well, believer, remember this. This same Jesus that resisted everything that the devil threw at him lives in you. Hallelujah. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. This same Jesus is your strength against the temptations of the wicked one. I can, Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The devil was no match for Jesus in the wilderness. And he's no match for the devil in you. Excuse me. Roll that tape back. He's no match for Jesus in you. We need to do some editing on that one. I'm thankful he's no match for Jesus. I'm no match for the devil, but the devil's no match for Jesus. And let me challenge anyone that's here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no match. You're no match for the devil. You're no match for his temptations. And so I encourage you. I beseech you, I beg you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As that one, cleanse you from all your sin. Take up residence in you. Fill you with his Spirit. And with his presence, you can have victory. Total, complete victory in life. Through Jesus. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you. Thank you so much for your mercy to us. Thank you for loving us, oh my. We want to thank you today for your beloved Son, this one in whom you are well pleased, one you loved, but yet you were willing to sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, I pray, that you would help every believer in this room. Might we live in the fullness of your Spirit, walking in that fullness, Father, in dependence, total dependence upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to give the victory over every trial, every temptation that Satan might throw our way. Father, I do pray as well for anyone that may be in this room that is yet without that hope, the hope of salvation, the hope of the forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life in Christ. Lord, please, I simply ask in Jesus' name, would you be pleased to speak to that heart, convince them, Father, of your sin, of their need of Jesus, of their sin and their need of salvation. And Lord, we will give you the glory, give you the honor for what you'll do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
As we sing, folks, please just let the Lord have his way. The altars, of course, are open. Make your way down through all these footprints and into the altar. God might speak to our hearts. Settle in what he said to us today. If you're here today and you need Jesus, oh my, please come. Please come. We do our best to point you to Christ. Point you to the one who gave himself as a sacrifice for your sin. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. What a special truth, isn't it? When we come to grips, the ugliness of our sin, ugliness, filthiness of our sin, the truth of that song that is, Jesus died to pay it all, the total debt. Jesus died, his blood was shed, that we could be washed clean, whole again, white as snow. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All the trials, all the temptations, all the tests, victorious in Christ, victorious in him. Amen. 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 Brother John, would you come?
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I've got